Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. For you guests and visitors, we're big on fellowship here at our place. Sometimes we even go a little overboard with that. But praise the Lord for our Second Sunday Brunch folks who've made that possible today. Thank you. And you all are in for a very special treat. It's been a couple of years since we've had this group of guys to come share with us about their ministry. But we're blessed to have Adult and Teen Challenge with us. My relationship with Teen Challenge goes back 25, 26 years. I became really good friends with a chapter down in Savannah, Tennessee. And I began to realize that God was really doing something with this ministry. And I wanted you all to, we've got a chapter here in Clarksville, and I wanted you all to hear from them today. And it's just so, I mean, this is one of the greatest ministries all across our country that ministers to people with addiction. And that's a real deal. Some of you all, some of our church members have struggled with this stuff. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd be right there with them. And, you know, I want you, every one of you guys to know we love you guys. And we are praying for you all. And right now, we're going to turn the service over to them. They're going to share a couple testimonies, lead in a couple of songs, and you're going to hear quite a bit from Adam about the ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge, who they are, what they do, what they're all about. Hear some of the success rates, and it's an amazing thing. God has blessed this ministry, and I wanted Second Mile Church to be a part of it. Father, I pray now that you would just touch everything that's done here today. This is going to be a little bit different service for us, but God, that's okay, because we serve a great God who's doing many different things for such a time as this. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would fall fresh on us, that you would anoint those that are leading in worship, and the testimonies, God, everything would bring a smile to your face today. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, guys, y'all welcome Adult and Teen Challenge to the church today.
Pastor Cal's giving me a strict time frame. All right. Hey, well, I just want to first thank you all for letting us come and share. You know, Adult and Teen Challenge is being used in such a great way by the Lord. We are uniquely positioned to help these men through their difficulties, their struggles, their sin, their life-controlling problems, because each one of us as staff has been through this change. I myself went through this change 4 years ago. I spent almost 25 years in addiction, lost, hopeless. I tried and tried so many times to be free from the sin that was just wreaking havoc on my life. But the fact of the matter is, I wasn't strong enough. I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't do it without the Lord, but I didn't understand that. If the Lord didn't use this ministry to radically change my life, there's no telling where I'd be at this moment. More than likely, I'd be locked up in prison, because that was the path I was on. That, or I'd be dead and lost. Salvation would not have been part of my story. So before we get started, I want to have Brother Elijah, my dean of men, come up. He's going to pray for our service, and I'm going to have the men come up and sing. We'll do some testimonies and have a good time.
All right. All right, all right, all right. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Father, we come to you now and we honor you. The words you put on my heart this morning is miracles. And you know, contrary to popular belief, there are miracles everywhere we look. Yes. the more we begin to realize that nothing goes down without your say-so. From the miracle of creation itself to the gift of life and every breath I take, I get to witness and be a part of the miracle that is this life, but more importantly, the miracle that is this new life that you've blessed me with, that you've blessed my brothers with, and that you've blessed each and every person who decided to make that spiritual exchange to accept your Son as Lord and Savior. You've given them the new life and the fullness of life. And God, I'm so, so thankful for that miracle today. I pray that each and every person here under the sound of my voice, I pray that their eyes are opened to the miracles that they have, from the miracles of parenthood to the miracles of just all kinds of stuff. Just whatever it is, highlight it and put it on their heart and make them realize that they too have a new life and they too can experience the fullness of life like those of us at Adult and Teen Challenge are beginning to realize. We had given it all up for the kingdom of darkness. But now we've given all that up for you and your Son. And you are delivering us time and time and time again. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, Father. And one day I'll get to talk to you about this forever. One day there won't be a time frame. One day I'll just be able to just be here with you forever. Me and all my friends and everybody who you saved, everybody who you didn't wish for perish and you were able to reach. One day, but for now, Father, I just want to say thank you. And I pray that you bless this service. You bless the people who give us an opportunity to talk about your glory and how your hand is not too short. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thankfully, we're all a work in progress, right? Amen. Constantly getting better in the Lord, right? Every time's a new opportunity. Amen, amen. So I just want to tell you a little bit about the program. I'm sure looking from the outside in, it's probably pretty difficult to understand what Adult and Teen Challenge is, what it looks like on a daily basis for these men. And sometimes it's hard for me to even think outside of the box and try to convey that to people because I'm in it. I see it every day. But Adult and Teen Challenge is an extremely challenging environment, right? These men are coming into a highly structured atmosphere. Every minute of each day is scheduled to give them discipline, to help that teach them the principles that God wants us to instill in our lives as we walk with Him on this journey. And that can be extremely difficult, especially for this population. It was extremely difficult for me. I lived in chaos. I lived in disobedience. I lived in disarray. I was comfortable in the darkness. And I didn't even know what it meant to live in the light. And that's what God's doing here in this 12-month program. Amen. He's working miraculously in the lives of these men. He's rooting out those things in their heart that haven't served them well. The conditionings of the world. The lies of the enemy. And they have lived in it. I lived by it. You know one of the things that I always said? Don't trust anybody. I live by that. And all that did was hurt me. It hurt me and it hurt the people around me. It wasn't until I came into this process of change and really genuinely felt the love, care, and concern of Jesus working through a body of believers. That's where I first experienced it. That's where these men first experienced the power of Jesus Christ working in their life. Now, I'm sure some of you know Lee Smith from First Baptist. Maybe, maybe not. She was one of the pivotal people when I first came here that showed me the love of Jesus Christ. And consistently, she would come up and hug me and tell me she cared about me. And at first, I was leery. At first, I said, there's something going on here. She's got ulterior motives. But consistently, over time, I began to learn that this is genuine. This is genuinely the love that Jesus has for us. And I had to learn that. That's why it's so important that we're doing the work here in Adult and Teen Challenge to help you be used by God to deliver these men, help disciple these men, help show them a better way, help instill the word of the Lord in their hearts so that they can walk in the fullness of life that they've been called to. You know, my testimony is mine, and each one of us have our own testimony. Each one of these men have a powerful testimony. So I want to go ahead and invite up Brother Justin. Brother Justin, if you'll come on up. We got Brother Justin here. He's been in the program just a short while. But I'll tell you what, Brother Justin has a heart for the Lord. He's got a powerful testimony. He's a little nervous, like we all are a little bit. But nonetheless, Brother Justin, he's going to let the Lord lead him.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, man.
Hi, I'm Justin Vogel, 32 years old, and like Brother Adam said, I've only been in the program for 9 days now. Newly saved, and just going to let the Lord speak through me.
Amen.
But I would like to start with a prayer and a verse, so could we bow our heads? Dear Lord, we just come to you today to say thank you for allowing all of us to come together and worship you, love each other, because without you, personally, I know there isn't much love. There's just hard to give love without you in it. So just thank you for allowing us to be able to be wrapped in your warmth and comfort and compassion. And just bless everyone every single day. In God's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord our God will be with you wherever you go."
Yeah.
And starting with that, I've been led with nothing but drugs, alcohol, and abuse since pretty much I can remember. Very young age, it was the norm. You know, I didn't really think there was any other way to live. So I just put on a smile, went to school, you know, tried to love other people to make sure that they never felt that way. And I did it for a long time being a kid, but I had construction. I had school, sports, as a teenager, you know, girlfriend, wanting to go to college. So I went to church as a young kid, but like I said, as a teenager, you start to get wrapped up in all of these things, wanting to be cool, wanting to have a car, wanting all this. So I lost that relationship. I knew who God was. I still believed, but I didn't come to him with my problems. I eventually got to the point where I can fix them. I'm a man now. I got to be the one to do it. I got to be the one to fix it. If I can't do it, then who can? I'm going to be a failure. You know, I got to take care of my family. And I started to question God once I became a man and thought that it was my way or no way, instead of coming to him and seeing that it wasn't him that was making all these bad things happen, it was me turning my back on him and thinking I had to be the one to do it alone, that if it wasn't my way, there was no way. And these great, amazing guys have showed me that that was the problem, is that he is the way. Yeah. With him, yeah. he will pull you out of that trench. He will bring your head above water. He will hug you and love you whenever you feel like you can't be hugged or loved. And you know, my father was a very troubled man. He had his own demons that he allowed to get the best of them. You know, he passed at 53 years old and he just gave up. He literally just gave up on life. There was nothing left. He didn't think he had anything left. It didn't matter how good me and my brothers did. It didn't matter. I brought him grandchildren. It just didn't matter because he didn't love himself. And I always told myself, he gave me the handbook of what not to be as a man. And I thought that was enough, but in reality, I didn't know how to be a man. And I was literally just, I guess, a grown boy. And now I have children of my own, and everything I seen and lived through and just never wanted to be, somehow I became. Like, God has put people in my life that truly love me, a brother that has made it through this program, a woman that unconditionally loved me for reasons I have no idea why, and we have three beautiful children together. And just somehow I can sit here and tell him I love you. I won't do this. I won't let you down. And I mean it. Deep down, I truly do mean it. But my actions show so differently. Like I'm saying one thing and doing another. So how can you believe that that's not a choice that I want to be making? But because I'm doing it every single time, I'm making the same choice. And then I'll make the choice and hate myself, but you know what? I'm sitting there outside in my car 2 a.m. sulking, but I've got a whiskey bottle or a beer and a pack of cigarettes that I'm sitting there smoking for 2 hours, just chain smoking and drinking and drinking and drinking, and then going inside and sleeping, and then waking up still feeling miserable and miserable. And there's not enough sorries whenever you're trying to say sorry, you're drunk or you're high, or you're just saying thank you, or just saying sorry, or just being gone for days, or once they try to correct you and just begging you to pour it out, to just stop. Let's go do something else. Hey, you want to drink? You want to smoke? You want to get high? Baby, let's go take a walk. Let's go take the kids to the creek. Let's do anything else. And it's just, all right, I will, but hold on. I got to go make an excuse to go run to the store real quick and slam a beer. Or I got to go over here and grab a bag real quick. And then I'm starting to hide it. And then once they see it, because as an addict, you think, oh, I'm good. You know, oh, I've got this. I'm clean. I'm shaved. My hair's done. But if you're a sober person, you can look right dead at somebody and tell that they're high, that they're drunk. You can smell it on them. You know, their whole demeanor is different because they're trying to put on this facade that isn't them, because that's not who you fell in love with. That's not who you want a friendship with. You know, that's not who you want to hang with. So you can tell, but you can't sometimes. Nobody could say anything to me, or I just snap, or I just leave, you know, or just whatever. You're going to leave anyway, so what's the matter anyway? I'm pushing you away, not allowing you in, but then I'm making the excuse that you're going to do it anyway. So why not be this? And just coming to this program has just really opened up my eyes, because I want to be a good dad. I want my babies to be proud of me. I want them to know what unconditional love is. I want them to know that they are worth it. You know, I want them to just be able to know love, to be able to push themselves to unconditional limits and just never question if they had a dad that didn't try, or my brothers didn't have a brother that didn't care, or have friends that didn't know that I had their backs. Because now I know that God has my back. Yeah. So I can have their back, because with him, you're a soldier, you know. And that's what we all need to be, as soldiers. We are learning. We are in boot camp now. And when we're done with this year, then it's time to go to war. And he's prepared us for battle. And he is the shield, and he is the sword. And he is never going to give up on us.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And don't, you know, that's the one thing that I've learned is, even when you're alone, you're never alone. You need somebody to talk to, just talk. Yes. Close your eyes and talk. He's listening. And when you allow him, you can feel his warmth around you. You can feel the hug. You can feel the love. And with each day, I feel it, because, you know, I miss my babies. It's going to be the longest time I've never been able to talk to him or see him is this year. But it's not a curse, it's a blessing. God has allowed me to come to him for instruction, a father that is going to teach me how to be a dad, that is going to how to teach me to be a brother, that is going to teach me how to be a friend. So whenever I do get the chance again to be all of those things, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready and I'm prepared.
Amen.
And I love all y'all, and I love Jesus, and without him, I don't think I'd ever be up here actually being able to talk. I don't even like talking to people, let alone about the deepest things in my life. So with that, I say God bless, and amen.
That doesn't penetrate your heart, hearing the testimony from Brother Justin, I don't know what does. You know, each one of these men has just as powerful a testimony. This is a fight for their life. That's what this is right here, right now. For many of these guys, this is the last chance. This is the last hope. And we know where that hope lies. It lies in the power of Jesus. And that's why it's so incredibly important as a body of believers, not just as a ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge, but a body of believers coming alongside and supporting these men. Now, I hope when this service is done, you get a chance to come meet with these guys. Pray for them. Spend a little time getting to know them. We can only do so much in this ministry without the support of a strong body of believers. And Second Mile has always been so generous and so kind and so warm and so inviting, and we just appreciate you letting us come share. Now, I do want to give you a little bit of information. I know that we're probably running a little tight on time here, but I got a couple things I want to share here with you about Adult and Teen Challenge in general. Now, we've just celebrated last year 50 years at Adult and Teen Challenge Heartland. 50 years. Our parent campus, our Memphis campus, has been there for 50 years. Now, we've been here now for 4. Actually, I was one of the first students here on October 4th when I came in. We'd been open about a month. So God is just doing a great work in the ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge. And I don't know if you're aware, but there's over 200 Adult and Teen Challenge centers in the United States and over 1,000 in the world. So God is really using the ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge to reach people that are stuck in sin and addiction. He's out there doing the good work that he's called us to. And we're so thankful that we can be a part of that here in Clarksville. Clarksville is the place that God brought us, and the support here has been tremendous. The body of believers, I mean, you can't go to many cities and go and talk to a pastor and say, well, I was over at this other church the other day, and he said, oh, yeah, well, I just went and ate breakfast with him yesterday. Everybody knows everybody here. And I mean, they do. Every time I talk to somebody else, say, oh, yeah, 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 that's my neighbor. Oh, yeah, 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 that's my cousin. Or, oh, we just ate breakfast the other day. Yeah, yeah, I'm familiar with that person. But how encouraging as a body of believers, how fortunate we are to be here in Clarksville where God is really mightily working. And I'm very thankful for that. So I want to share with you real quick. There was an independent study that was done by a Bible college where they reached out to 74 teen challenge centers here in the United States and connected with 340 program graduates. And I don't know if you know much about the statistics when it comes to secular rehabilitation programs, but the numbers aren't good, right? I've read somewhere between 10-15% success rate, and that's probably high. That's probably pretty high. Well, this study that they did came out with some pretty incredible numbers, and I believe that they're dead on accurate. So they said this is for students that had graduated the program within the first year. These are the students they talked to. They said 78% of graduates remained sober and substance free following graduation. 78%. I mean, that's 8 times what other program success rates are. And we know why that is, right? That's the Jesus factor, right? That's because the Lord, we can't do it on our own strength. It takes the strength of the Lord for us to be able to overcome these things. 92.9% reported no new legal problems post-graduation, which is huge because most of us in here have legal problems, right? And that's the track we probably would have continued on if we didn't get the help we needed. 25.9% enrolled in new education and training, and 91% reported improved quality of relationships with family members, which is huge. You know, before I went through this process of change, I really thought that I was a good person in my heart, and I think I probably was, but the choices I made were devastating to myself and the people in my life. They were devastating to all the relationships I had. One of the greatest things that happened to me after this process of change, about 2 months after I graduated the program, I had a conversation with my mother. And, you know, in my addiction, I thought, I'm not hurting anybody else. I'm just hurting myself. It's just me I'm hurting. So what do I have to worry about anybody else? And probably the most impactful conversation I've had was with her when she told me how relieved she was. How relieved she was that I wasn't out there and she wasn't in distress. That I wasn't causing her that level of pain in her life. Just knowing I was out there. Maybe I wasn't intentionally hurting her. But unintentionally, I was devastating her life. Now my relationship with my mother is so open and free, and God has used me in the passing of my father to minister to her. He's using me to continue to help her grow in the way that she needs to, and I would have never been capable of doing that. I would have never been there for her if it wasn't for the Lord working in my life. And as I look back on all these situations that he's brought me through, as I look back, even in this recent history of walking with the Lord and seeing all the opportunities he's given me to be used by him, it just brings so much joy to my heart. It brings so much validation to the power of Jesus Christ and what he's doing in my life. And that's what we want. That's what my staff here want for each one of these men, so desperately to see them get to that place where they can walk in the fullness of life that Jesus offers them. And I have faith that each one of these men has the strength and the willingness and the obedience. They can push forward, and he will do that for them too. If he did it for me, I'll tell you what, I was a piece of garbage out there. I was. And I'm still a work in progress, so Lord, be patient with me, please. But the Lord is doing a mighty work here in this program, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to serve here in this ministry. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity that you've given us to here to come share today. Thank you so much. Pastor Cal, appreciate you, brother.
Wow, praise the Lord. What you're hearing is real. It's real. I've had the tremendous privilege of going to out to Wilma Rudolph Boulevard to their facility and getting to speak and share the Lord with these guys several times here recently. And what you hear is actually really happening. God is at work at Adult and Teen Challenge. And he's set. I don't know, Adam, if you caught on to this, but this year we have a theme. And our theme is getting free in 23. And God is setting people free at Adult and Teen Challenge. And so I'm just grateful to hear everything that we've heard about this morning. And the Lord is at work. And I'm just great. Y'all gonna have an opportunity to sow into this ministry here during our offering time, if you like, and you'll hear more about that. But I love Second Mile Church. Amen. And when Adam said, I want to thank Second Mile Church for ministering to us and being so good to us. I want y'all to know it's not because we're such good people. It's because we have such a good Savior. And y'all are finding that out. Amen? Amen. And Justin, you've only been saved for 9 days? 5 days. You know what? I think we ought to get people up as soon as they get saved and let them give a testimony. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to quickly finish up this sermon series on love, the freedom that we've been given to love folks, and it'll be short and sweet, and we're all going to a verse that you know very well. What's the most quoted verse in the Bible? John 3:16, that's it. And so let's all stand and quote this verse together. Kind of like they did before they sang 1, 2, 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And may God add his blessing to the reading and the teaching and the preaching of his holy, inerrant, inspired word. Please be seated. I won't be long this morning, but I wanted to get through this this sermon series this morning, and it ties in beautifully with what you've just heard. Justin mentioned the word love I don't know how many times. John 3:16, if you got rid, if somebody were to get rid of every other verse in the Bible and all you had left was John 3:16, you've still got the entire Bible. Because that's what it's all about. And the great reformer Martin Luther once said this about John 3:16. He said, John 3:16 is the Bible in miniature. The great Greek scholar A.T. Robertson said that John 3:16 is the Bible in a nutshell. And you know what? It really is. It's so important that, and yet so simple that even little boys and little girls can understand it. It's so simple and elementary, but it's so deep that scholars can't get to the bottom of it. You could preach on John 3:16 for months and never get to the bottom of it. And you can't exhaust the text of John 3:16. Why is that? Because you can't exhaust the love of God. Amen. I said you can't exhaust the love of God. And so just for the next couple of minutes, I want to talk to you about the amazing, astounding, inexhaustible, inexpressive love of God. Would that be all right? First off, God's love is universal. For God so loved the
world.
Now, the Greeks used to have three words for love. Eros, which is a sexual, sensual kind of love. Philos, which is a social or brotherly kind of love. And then the word agape, which is the word, which is a godly, unconditional, sacrificial type of love. And that's the word that John uses here for love. 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is y'all are on it. Very good. 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. Right. And so I've just come to tell you this morning, God loves everybody. There isn't anyone that God doesn't love. And by the way, he loved you before the world was even created. Before the foundations of the world, God loved you. And wherever you're sitting, there isn't anything you need to go do to make God love. He just loves you. Amen. He knows everything about you, and yet he still loves you.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. Amen. Now, and by the way, there isn't anything you can go out here and do, fellas, that'll make God love you any less.
Amen.
He just loves you. He just loves us. And so... Let me put it like this. The word world is the word cosmos. Okay? And what John's telling us this morning through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit is that God is in love with everyone. He loves everybody. Now, wrap your head around that. Brothers and sisters, God even loves... How many of y'all been watching the news this week? God even loves Hamas. God loves the Muslim. God loves the Christian. God loves white folks. God loves black folks. God loves Hispanic folks. God loves Asian folks. God even loves the saints and the ain'ts. Y'all with me? He loves those that are saved and those that are not saved. You can't go anywhere and find anyone that God does not love. I go to a prayer meeting over at Hilldale Baptist Church on the first and third Monday nights of the month, and Dwight Dixon leads that prayer meeting. There's about 35 of us or so that show up, and Andrew brings his ukulele or his banjo or his mandolin. We never know which one he's bringing, but we always sing this song because Dwight says it's the greatest song ever written. You know it. Jesus loves me, this I know. To him belong, they are
weak, but he is strong.
Yes, Hallelujah. Jesus loves the universe. His love is universal. And by the way, I saw you if you weren't singing. But more importantly than that, guess who else saw that you weren't singing? And if you make it to heaven, you are going to sing. Hallelujah. And so God's love is universal. And then secondly, God's love is sacrificial. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love is a verb. Love is a verb. This woman over here married me. She made the decision to just love me no matter what. She didn't know my hair was going to get gray when we first got married. She didn't know my belly was going to lop over my belt. She didn't know that I was going to clip my toenails and leave them all over the house. She just chose to love me, and she still does. She knows everything, well, most everything about me, and still loves me anyway. And by the way, God knows you and loves everything about you. Hallelujah. God's love is sacrificial. And by the way, God loves you so much that He gave you a gift. And this gift is amazing. It's the best gift anyone could ever receive. He gave you a gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you, what do you think it was like when Jesus left heaven to come down to this place? Can you imagine what the angels were saying? Oh, Lord, don't go down there. That is a sin-cursed, ugly, corrupt bunch of folk. Don't go down there. Lord, it's not going to be heaven if you leave. Stay here with us. But the Bible tells us that Jesus loved us so much that the infinite became finite. God, who's always been God, you do know that Jesus has always been God. He became a man for our sakes, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so He became a man. That's one of the greatest mysteries in the world, how Jesus was virgin born. The Holy Spirit moved on Mary's womb and she conceived. And I want to tell you, Jesus was born. There's never been anybody like Him. He was the heavenly child of an earthly mother. He's the earthly child of a heavenly father. He was the God-man. Fully God, fully man. And that's how He was able to live a sinless life. Because He's fully God. He never sinned. Hebrews 4:15 says He was, in all points, He was tempted to sin and yet was without sin. What a gift God gave to the world. But Jesus is not only God's gift to the world, He is God's gift for the world. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm all for Him. Now, the Bible says that He was bruised for our iniquities. Y'all with me so far? 1 Corinthians 15:3 says that Christ died for our sins. 1 John 2:2 says He is the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. And not just ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus was scourged. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was bloodied. He was battered. He was ridiculed. He was mocked, scorned, laughed at. And yet He gave His life. He gave His life. That word begotten literally means one of a kind, unique. There's never been anybody like Jesus. And He left heaven and came to this old planet, lived a perfect sinless life, and somehow was able to go to the cross and become our sacrifice. He laid His life down so that we might go free. Somebody ought to have a running spell right now. What a gift Jesus is to us. Hallelujah. And so His love is universal. His love is sacrificial. But thirdly, His love is personal. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him. I'm a whosoever man. I believe in whosoever. The Greek word the word whosoever in Greek is the word pos. And it's used 1,228 times in your New Testament. And the word literally means, it gives, brings the idea of totality, the sum of totality. It means all. It means all. 2 Peter 3:9 says that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God desires all men to be saved. Hebrews 2:9 says that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Basically, what we're talking about here is that this is the Calhampton Standard Version. Whosoever means anywhere, anytime, anybody. Anyone. We're sitting around fussing and fighting and arguing just about who it is that can be saved. Well, I believe in whosoever. Whosoever can come to him. I'm the poster child for this. If Jesus will take me, he'll take anybody. Hallelujah. So here we've got the active role of a sovereign God and the free will of man at work all at the same time. That's who whosoever is. And what does whosoever have to do? Believe in him. We make something so hard out of this, David. I mean, it's not anything. It's not rocket science. We believe in him. And by the way, we're not just talking about this up here. We're talking about that right there. Head and heart. We've talked about this over these last few weeks. But you know, you can't put John 3:16 in a box. Just let the Word of God speak. Whosoever believes, trust. And that word for belief in the Bible means to place your entire weight on and in something or someone. In other words, it's believing to the point that you're willing to trust him with everything that you are to everything that he is. That's what the Bible word for believe means. And so if you have and by the way, if you want to do that, God will give you the faith to do it. Hallelujah. And so God's love is so, so personal. Now, y'all know what the word believe is, now I know this doesn't mean anything to anybody, but it's a present active participle. It's the word pistuo. And the word literally, well, last night, Diana made some chicken stew for us. And Isaac and I sat down believing that she wanted to feed us and not poison us. That's the word we're talking about. We believe, we sat down, y'all are sitting down in comfortable chairs today. And you sat down believing that that chair was going to hold you up. You wouldn't have sat down if you thought it was going to fall apart. You came out of the house this morning and put the key in the ignition and turned it, believing that that vehicle was going to get you here. Did it get you here? Don't tell me about somebody who didn't make it. This word is a part of our lives. We see it and use it all the time. And so God chooses and man responds. Whosoever. And if you're here today, you're whosoever. God's love is so personal. And then finally, God's love is eternal. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, did y'all know that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven? Did you? He sure did. There is a hell. It's real. And it's a place of eternity. The Bible says that God made us for eternity. In other words, you're going to be somewhere for all of eternity. You're either going to be in one place or the other. And what you did with Jesus determines where you're going to spend eternity, whether you're in hell or whether you're in heaven. The word have there shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's present tense. In other words, once you're in heaven, you're there forever. Once you're in hell, you're there forever. But I'm so thankful Jesus went to my hell for me. He paid the price for me. And by the way, why would you want to pay for your sins for all of eternity separated from God when he paid the price for you already? He gave his life. He satisfied God's wrath. He lived up to God's standards, God's commandments. And that's how he was able to go and to pay to become the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And hallelujah. He's alive forevermore.
Amen.
He's the only one to raise from the dead, never to die again. And I want to tell you, this love is so amazing. That it demands my life and my all. And if you're here this morning and you've heard the testimony of a couple of these men, God's in the life-changing business. And by the way, we need to be changed because we've got a bad heart. You were born into sin. And then when you got old enough, nobody had to teach you. Nobody had to train you. You chose to sin.
Yep.
And immediately, you became accountable to God for your sin. And if you're here this morning and your life hasn't been turned around and changed by the power of God, Adam's right. We're all still a work in progress. But Jesus loves us too much to leave us the way we are.
Yeah.
And so I want to ask you, I just want to ask you point blank today, do you know that you know that you know that you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ? You're walking with him. He's talking to you. He's leading you. He's giving you direction in life. He convicts you when you don't do right. And he says, come on, this is the way. Do you have that kind of relationship with him? Reese, I was so proud of you last week. Hallelujah. Can you tell she's got a good dose of Jesus? And that's what some of you need. And it comes by faith. You've got to be willing to repent, to turn, to make a spiritual U-turn, and turn by faith to him and surrender everything that you are to everything that he believe in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. And bless God, he will save you right where you sit.
Amen.
And then the new life begins. And you follow him in believer's baptism. You begin reading God's word and apply it to your life. God's got a game plan for you. And the way you figure out what that game plan is, you get in the word of God. And you also have a brand, look around. You got brothers and sisters in Christ. You're in a new family now. And if you're here today, you can have that based upon what? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only unique begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have. And the word perish means to be separated from God, from his love, and have everlasting life. Bow your heads and let's let the Lord do what he wants to do here right now. As Brother Andrew comes, if you want to receive Christ, you can do it right there where you sit. Or you can get up and come forward and we'll share verses with you. But if you need to be saved, we want to ask you to come. Well, how do I get saved? You pray a prayer something like this. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. You know it and I know it. And my sins have separated me from you. And I've lived for me. But I know, Father, that your Son is alive forevermore, and he paid for all my sins. And right now, I want to receive by faith the gift of eternal life right now. Come into my life. Take control of every fiber of my being. Do what you want to do. Forgive me of my sin. I'm following you from here on out. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed a prayer like that, the words are important, but what God's really looking at is your heart. And if you prayed that way, we want to pray over you and thank God for you this morning. And we're going to ask you to just in just a moment when we sing to come. And we'll pray over you. We'll get some things in your hand to help you to get started right that you can take home with you. This is the only time you need to do this. If you really mean business with God, you don't need to do this multiple times. If you get born again, how can you be unborn? And then secondly, there are some folks here that are in dire straits that it really do need prayer. And our deacons and our prayer team, we have a prayer ministry here. And maybe you need healing. Maybe you need deliverance from sin like these young men were talking about. We've got a prayer ministry and we'll pray over you. The leadership in this church will pray over you and ask God to set you free and deliver you. But we're not going to come to you. You've got to come to Him right up here. That's how you exercise your faith. And then we exercise our faith by calling on the Lord's healing. Father, I pray you'd lead people to an old-fashioned altar this morning. God, that you might set somebody free here. Whether it be a sin issue, salvation issue, whether it be an emotional or physical issue, or a relationship, whatever it is, God, this is the year of freedom. We're getting set free in 23. And so, God, would you bring folks to this altar for whatever reason it is that they need to come. And come is a great Bible word, Father. It's all through the Scriptures. Come. Come. Come unto me. Ye who are weary and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so, Lord, in the quietness and stillness of this moment, we're going to operate on faith and we're going to come. In Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody standing. You lead us, brother.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.